Imagine a world where the news is manufactured like fast food, mass-produced, hastily assembled, and nutritionally suspect. This isn't dystopian fiction. It's our reality, according to veteran Guardian journalist Nick Davies. In his explosive exposé, Flat Earth News, Davies turns his investigative skills on his own profession, revealing how commercial pressures have transformed journalism from truth-seeking to churnalism, the rapid processing of unchecked material. The book sent shockwaves through newsrooms worldwide, forcing uncomfortable conversations about journalism's fundamental purpose. What happens when the watchdogs of democracy are muzzled by profit margins and production quotas? The consequences reach far beyond media circles, affecting every aspect of our democratic society. Remember Y2K? As 1999 drew to a close, prestigious newspapers predicted apocalypse. The Washington Post warned of a date with disaster. Newsweek foretold the day the world crashes. Yet when midnight struck, almost nothing happened. A tide gauge failed in Portsmouth, a weather station froze in Aberdeen, no planes fell from the sky, no power grids collapsed. Even countries with minimal preparation experienced no problems. Despite enormous expenditures, Britain reportedly 396 to 788 million, America between 100 to 858 billion, the catastrophe never materialized. Most journalists quietly abandon the story. This pattern exemplifies what Davies calls flat earth news, stories widely accepted despite being riddled with falsehood, distortion, and propaganda. The millennium bug narrative spread through exaggeration and fear. Peter DeJager, who first raised concerns, later admitted he cranked up the anxiety when initial warnings went unheeded. Self-interested parties amplified the threat. Office managers seeking budget increases, companies marketing detection software, and authors selling survival guides. After nothing happened, DeJager conceded, it turns out that there were fewer 990 boundary crossings than we feared. This pattern repeats with other widely accepted narratives, like heroin prohibition, stories that spread through self-interest and echo chambers, becoming truth despite being fundamentally flawed. Journalism's truth-seeking mission eroded when business interests overtook news values. After Murdoch broke print unions at Whopping in 1986, commercial pressures transformed newsrooms. Unlike manufacturing, where assembly lines improve quality, in journalism, this approach eliminated the essentials of truth-telling, time, and verification. While staffing remained stable over 20 years, journalists' output tripled. Cardiff University researchers found reporters now produce more stories with less checking. Newspapers have turned into copy factories, one journalist explained, with less time for real investigations. Labor-intensive stories are increasingly abandoned. Local journalism, once feeding stories to national outlets, has been decimated by corporate consolidation. By 2005, 10 corporations owned 74% of local papers. With 403 titles closed in a decade and over half of provincial journalists losing jobs. Court reporting agencies have vanished, breaking another crucial information pipeline. Broadcasters simultaneously cut news staff while increasing output, particularly with 24-hour channels. The result? Only 12% of stories are journalists' original work, and only 12% of key facts are effectively verified. News websites have worsened this problem, with speed becoming an obsession that further compromises accuracy. With newsrooms starved of resources yet pressured to produce more content, public relations professionals have filled the void. Cardiff researchers found that over half of Britain's prestigious papers showed PR influence, 41% directly initiated by PR or containing PR material, with another 13% showing probable influence. The PR industry has exploded as journalism declined. Britain now has more PR professionals, 47,800, than journalists, 45,000, with many reporters switching to this more lucrative field. corporate use of PR agencies surged from 28% in 1979 to 90% 5 years later, while government PR spending increased 500% under Thatcher. PR doesn't just insert favorable stories, it actively suppresses unfavorable ones. PR-generated stories were 6 times more likely to have little or no news value than independent reporting. The crucial process of news judgment has been outsourced to people serving powerful interests. This suppression occurs when troublesome information isn't released or when embarrassing information is strategically timed. Local papers reproduce up to 96% of council press releases, often verbatim. National media fare little better. The Times reprints Ministry of Defense releases almost word for word, while the Daily Mail reproduces drug company announcements without additional reporting. Journalism now operates by unwritten rules of production that systematically undermine truth-telling. 1. Select stories that are quick to cover and safe to publish. 2. Rely on official sources for factual statements. 3. Show deference to powerful organizations. 4. Employ safe consensus values. 5. Balance controversial content with opposing viewpoints, even when false. 6. Prioritize what audiences want over what they need. 7. Strip away complexity and context. 8. Select ideas confirming readers' existing beliefs. 9. Participate in moral panics, especially involving death. 10. Publish stories already widely reported elsewhere. These rules serve corporate news organizations, where time-pressed journalists survive by pursuing easy, popular stories, reducing complex issues to simplified events, framing them with safe ideas, neutralizing with false balance, and producing them rapidly, all at truth's expense. The weakened media system has become increasingly vulnerable to government propaganda operations. Since 9/11, the U.S. government and allies have built a strategic communications apparatus that manipulates coverage through embedded journalism, controlled information releases, and coordinated messaging. The Iraq War demonstrated this system's effectiveness, producing numerous fabrications that mainstream media widely disseminated, including stories of Iraqi terrorist death squads and troops using children as shields. When Robert Fisk investigated claims about Iraqi artillery hitting Baghdad markets, he found U.S. missile fragments instead, contradicting official statements. The Abu Musab al-Zarqawi narrative exemplifies modern propaganda. The campaign began with a strategic leak to the New York Times about a supposed Zarqawi letter outlining plans for sectarian warfare. General Kimmett publicly endorsed the letter, while internal communications revealed he knew it was part of a psychological operation. Military documents later described this as the most successful information campaign to date. Investigation later revealed key deceptions. Al-Qaeda wasn't directing the Iraqi insurgency, with foreign fighters comprising less than 10% of insurgent forces, and Zarqawi operated largely independently from bin Laden's organization. What can be done about media's failure as guardians of truth? While ideal solutions like accuracy ratings and Flat Earth News Awards exist, the core problem isn't simply proprietorial interference, but a system where commercial pressures overwhelm reporting requirements. Yet, hope persists. Nonprofit organizations like the Center for Public Integrity conduct investigations and share results freely. Public funding models like the BBC's offer some protection against commercialization. Occasionally, citizen journalists uncover important stories missed by mainstream media, as when bloggers revealed U.S. troops used white phosphorus in Fallujah. The internet's promise isn't individuals replacing mass media, but potentially liberating journalism from churnalism by reducing production costs. If these savings were reinvested in newsrooms, we could reverse the vulnerability to Flat Earth news. This matters deeply. Commercial media creates a generation brazenly materialistic, selfish, depoliticized, and non-socially minded. Joseph Pulitzer warned, a cynical, mercenary, demagogic, corrupt press will produce in time a people as base as itself. Will we continue consuming flat-earth news or demand the truth-telling journalism democracy requires?